Good morning, everyone. This is Jane reading for you on September 29th. We're getting close to the end of the month from the Commercial News of Danville. And here's the top local story. Gold Star rides through Vermilion County, honoring the fallen one mile at a time for 5 days. For 9 years, retired Army Major Brian Monahan has put his feet on the cycle pedals for the Gold Star ride. Monahan rides in honor of his cousin, Nicholas S. Ott from New Jersey, who was killed in Afghanistan in 2011. A lot of the riders we have this year are combat veterans who have served with the fallen. It's healing and therapeutic for us to get out and honor our fallen comrades. We aren't going to forget you, Monahan said, about the healing that happens as they ride. Bike riders, some Gold Star family members, or military veterans take their mission on the road every year to honor those who have died. A Gold Star family has lost a loved one, whether it be a parent, brother, sister, grandparent, or even close friends who were called battle buddies while serving. Gold Star mother Judy Hopper knows too well how, even after serving together, battle buddies stick together. We, that is her family and son, just averted one suicide case a couple of weeks ago. My son had sent me a text about someone who served in Iraq with my oldest son, he said. I want peace. I have sent my passcode to my wife with my guns so she can tell them. And he said, you can't do this. This is not the way, Hopper shared during a luncheon at the American Legion in Danville on Wednesday. Not today, she said. We can stay for one more day. Monahan added that the riders stick together. We all ride as a group, and we are just like the U.S. military. We don't leave anybody behind. We will push people up the hills. If you get tired or have a mechanical issue, you can pull over and hop in a side vehicle and go to the next stop and get refreshed and recharge. Monahan has been riding for 9 years, but he said you don't have to be a pro rider to participate. We will help a person out. If they don't have a bike, we have contacts to get them bikes. If they need a training program, we will help them get a training program. He added, what to expect of your body. To me, realistically, if you can get on your bicycle and you can go ride an average of 15 to 16 miles an hour by yourself and ride for 50 or 60 miles without stopping or minimal stopping, you can get up the next day without feeling like you are beat up, then you'll be fine. The entire team, along with Illinois State Police troopers on motorbikes, keeps everyone safe as they ride. Leaders like Monahan have radios to communicate with everyone, whether it be a pile of brush in the road or a mechanical issue with one of the riders. We unfortunately had to play our luck with IEDs. We lost people, Monahan said. Today is a very emotional day. Monahan served in the Army for 30 years, working with logistics. He said he was deployed 3 times, twice to Iraq and once to Kosovo, for peacekeeping. He rides as a captain with the crew and said it's a joy to be able to fix things on the fly as they are riding. The group arrived at the Danville American Legion around 12:30 p.m. and left to go to a pit stop at Georgetown around 1:20 p.m. On the way, Westville students cheered them on before stopping at Georgetown schools to speak to the students. Both times, the entire crew was met through cheers, as well as some cheers from drivers along the path. To get involved as a rider or a volunteer, they said to check their Facebook page or go to the website, goldstarride.org. And here's another human interest story having to do with Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. living life. In remission, Juarez plays football and baseball. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and the American Association for Cancer Research says on their website, while relatively rare, pediatric cancers are the leading cause of death from disease among children in the United States. Westville football player Tanner Juarez is in remission from ALL, a type of leukemia. His family's life was forever changed when he was 3 years old. Beth Juarez, Tanner's mom, said that while he has been off treatment for 8 years, she will probably always worry, but is so proud of her son. He's been amazing because I never dreamed he would play football. He didn't play until his freshman year, and I really think what he went through is why his attitude and demeanor and how he treats other people and just all good things. As for how she and her husband Randy knew something was wrong, she said Tanner was sick, so while she rotated the use of Tylenol and ibuprofen, Tanner ended up with severe nosebleeds. His nose wouldn't stop bleeding, wouldn't stop bleeding, wouldn't stop bleeding, and there was a big snowstorm, and my husband was like, "We are going to Champagne," she said. So I called the nurse and said, "He has lost a lot of blood," and she said, "Get him in here so we can see what's going on." Halfway to the hospital through a snowstorm, Beth said Tanner's nose stopped bleeding. However, Randy insisted that they were still going in. After they arrived, she said it was the strange questions the doctors were asking in the emergency room. The doctor was asking for pictures of him from, like, 6 months ago. And I was like, "What's happening?" she said. "With leukemia kids, you can't have nosebleeds because it thins their blood even more." Due to the blood loss, she said the doctors got Tanner platelets and blood transfusions. That doctor stayed all night long, and he came in the next day to tell us, he said, "He has leukemia. I don't know what kind he has, but we're going to give you some choices," she added. And that is when we end up in St. Louis, and he got diagnosed with ALL, acute lymphatic leukemia. The biggest thing, she said, doctors encouraged her to do is still let him be a child. "They just told us, he is 3.5 years old, but you are still going to let him be a kid. He is always going to be a kid, so don't stop him from going to school. Don't stop him." So we never did, she added. Other parents did judge her for that, but took him to places like Sky Zone anyway. He wanted to spend time with his friends, and if the doctor had told me not to take him, not to do things, I never would have done it. Even though Tanner is in remission, the cancer treatment still impacts his daily life today. He has neuropathy sometimes in his fingers and his legs. He may not be able to have kids, which we won't know, obviously, until he gets older, for a lot of things. There are a lot of side effects from the medication that he took that could happen now or 10 years from now. That is my biggest fear, and obviously if it comes back, that is the cancer. He has been good, but I really think he is going to be okay. But still, it's really hard. She still struggles with his yearly blood testing because the cancer can return. It's always that feeling every time he goes and gets labs. "I need a minute," she said. "So I wait for the phone call for the results, and when they say everything is good, whew, I can breathe again." As far as what Tanner remembers of his time in the hospital, he said he doesn't remember much, but he remembers being in the hospital a lot. "I remember the transfusions I had," Tanner said. As for dealing with the neuropathy while playing football or basketball, he says it's a challenge, but not impossible. "It hurts, but I push through it and soak it in Epsom salt," he said. And his mom added, "And thank goodness for our athletic trainer. She helps a lot." Tanner said he wants to become a travel nurse, which his mom thinks is deeply influenced by a nurse with whom he played water fights while in the hospital. He wants to go somewhere and experience that life, and I think everything he went through is probably what inspired him, said his mom, While Tanner added, he also remembers when the clowns used to come to the room, and the dogs. Even though he had plenty of fun despite a whirlwind diagnosis as a toddler, Tanner said about the cancer, it's not something to mess around with. It's serious. Throughout his treatment, Beth and Tanner both said the village of Westville, as well as his friends, were so supportive. He had friends that went with him to ring the bell, she said. Even his second grade class was involved. They FaceTimed the whole thing so they could see him ringing the bell. A bell is rung after a cancer patient goes into remission. And even still, his mom says she sees people wearing the T-shirts they made for Tanner when he was in grade school. And here's an article about the electrical grid that we've all been focusing on recently. Ameren's reported plans to enhance reliability with smart devices. This is going to be a little technical, so strap in. Ameren, Illinois, took a step forward in its modernization of the electric grid in Vermilion County with the installation of a 69 kV Viper HV recloser, also known as a smart switch. The new smart switches detect problems on the electric system and help determine whether power should be rerouted from another source. The reclosers work in tandem with other outage detection devices to isolate outages and reduce the length of service disruptions while reducing the number of customers who experience an outage. Ameren partnered with G&W Electric, headquartered in Bolingbrook, to develop the Viper HV recloser, a purpose-built device rated for 69 kV. The first installation of the Viper HV recloser took place in Fithian. Ameren currently has 12 units installed across two states. 9 more units will be added in Illinois in 2025 as part of its broader strategy to improve overall reliability. This is an industry-first solution designed to enhance customer reliability and a solution we hope to use to reroute power on additional sub-transmission lines across our broader service territory, said Patrick Smith, Senior Vice President of Operations and Technical Services for Ameren, Illinois, in an official news release. We are also proud to say this recloser was developed in collaboration with Illinois-based manufacturer G&W Electric to support local jobs and economic growth in central Illinois. And since we were talking about those Gold Star bikers a moment ago, here's another article having to do with veterans. Adaptive Sports Grant awarded to Gateway. Gateway Family Services of Illinois has been awarded the VA Adaptive Sports Grant. The grant, which is a funding initiative designed to enhance therapeutic and adaptive sports programs for veterans, will enable Gateway to expand its offering and provide additional support to those who have served our country. As part of our commitment to veteran wellness, Gateway will now offer both 2-day and 5-day retreats at no cost to the veterans. These retreats are designed to promote physical well-being, mental health, and community building among participants. Attendees will engage in various adaptive sports and recreational activities. Quote, our retreats are a unique opportunity for veterans to connect with one another while enjoying a range of adaptive activities, said Michael Remol, CEO at Gateway Family Services of Illinois. We are excited to enhance our programs with the support of the VA Adaptive Sports Grant, allowing us to serve more veterans and help them in their journey toward recovery and wellness. The retreats are tailored to offer a safe and supportive environment, ensuring that every participant can engage comfortably in activities that suit their abilities. Meals, lodging, and all necessary equipment will be provided free of charge. Veterans interested in participating in these transformative retreats are encouraged to reach out for more information and to register. No prior experience in adaptive sports is necessary. For more information, please contact Michael Remol, that's R-E-M-O-L-E, at telephone number 217-488-8006 or by email at veterans@gatewayfamilieservices.org. And their website is www.gatewayfamilieservices.org. Now let's have a look at the obituaries, starting with Gary Wayne Gritton, G-R-I-T-T-O-N. Gary Wayne Gritton, 49 years old, of Danville, passed away at his home on September 22, 2025. A celebration of life for Gary will be held at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, October 1st, at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville. That's on Walnut Street. Following the Mass, a graveside committal service will be held at 2:30 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. A gathering will be held at Turtle Run Golf Club following the graveside services. All are welcome. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, September 30th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Gary's memory to the Education Fund for his children at the Education Personnel Federal Credit Union in Danville, Illinois. Then Carol Kendall. Carol L. Kendall, age 93, of Pittsfield, passed away on Tuesday, September 23rd at Illini Community Hospital in Pittsfield, Illinois. Cremation rites have been accorded and graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 2nd at Pittsfield West Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to be made to West Cemetery or Pittsfield American Legion Post number 152. Online condolences may be left to the family at www.nieburfh.com. The Niebuhr Funeral Home in Pittsfield is handling all arrangements. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. on the 2nd of October in West Cemetery. That's on Washington Street. And thirdly, Beatrice Joy Huseman, or Hussman. Beatrice Huseman, 93 years old, of Danville, passed away peacefully on September 21st at the Loft Nursing Care Facility in Bloomington, Illinois. A celebration of life service will be held on Saturday, October 4th at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Public visitation will begin at 10 a.m. at the church, followed by a memorial service at 11 a.m. and burial ceremony at the Lutheran Cemetery in Danville. A luncheon will be provided back at Trinity Church following the burial ceremony. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center has been entrusted with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to Trinity Lutheran School in loving memory of B. Hussman. Here's an opinion piece now by Brian Howie, who is a senior writer and columnist for Howie Politics on Indiana State Affairs. The headline reads, "Dismantling of U.S. Cancer Research Jeopardizes Lives." We live in a nation where about 40% of us will be diagnosed with cancer in our lifetimes. Some 38 million Americans, or 11% of the population, have diabetes. Another 7 million suffer from Alzheimer's. With all due respect to Indiana University football coach Kurt Cignetti and his undefeated Hoosiers, when I seek heroes, I look to the IU School of Medicine. Indiana University's Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center supports nearly 250 researchers engaged in all phases of the cancer spectrum. In 2018, the Simon Center managed 380 clinical trials, including 104 investigator-initiated trials designed and implemented by IU researchers. In 2023, the IU School of Medicine received more than $243 million from the National Institutes of Health, ranking 13th in the nation for NIH funding among public medical schools, and 29th overall, according to the Blue Ridge Institute for Medical Research. Indiana University is where Dr. Lawrence Einhorn discovered the cure for testicular cancer. IU is the home of the Susan G. Komen Tissue Bank, the world's only biorepository for normal breast tissue, with a focus on the role of ancestry plays in breast cancer. In the 1970s, when President Richard Nixon commenced what he called the War on Cancer, the five-year survival rate in the United States stood at 49%. Today, it's 68%. IU is conducting some of the most comprehensive Alzheimer's research, with more than 2 million biological samples distributed globally via the NIH. The university's diabetes research is zeroing in on treatments that eliminate the need for insulin injections. Its radiology research is networking with artificial intelligence protocols that provide second reads on mammograms and additional early lung cancer detection. In September 2024, Dr. J. Hess, Dean of the IU School of Medicine and Executive Vice President for University Clinical Affairs, talked of the next frontier at the school fundraiser in downtown Indianapolis, artificial intelligence. "I know there are concerns about the benefits of AI, but if managed well, the benefits could be enormous," Hess said. "Imagine what it would be like if your doctor spent less time typing and more time doctoring. Imagine how we could reduce doctor shortages by eliminating repetitive tasks. Imagine how AI could help doctors by interpreting data on possible diagnoses. At IU, we want to be at the forefront of how AI can improve the quality and safety of patient care. How do we use AI responsibly and knowing its limitations?" Hess asked. It would have been impossible for Dr. Hess, when he spoke those words, to understand that the darker side of AI would crash into the decade he has spent recruiting researchers for the school. Elon Musk's unofficial Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, used AI to root out what he called waste and fraud in a matter of days last winter, indiscriminately slashing $14 million in research grants for IU. This disruption follows the firing of 1,200 people at the NIH, National Institutes of Health, and 140 people at the National Cancer Institute. For medical researchers at Indiana, Purdue, and Notre Dame universities, this dismantling of the NIH has meant an abrupt loss of $24.5 million in funding for 2025 as of September. No planning occurred. This came out of the blue. According to an article by the New York Times Magazine's Jonathan Mahler, the National Institutes of Health paid out $4.3 billion less in research grants between January 20th and August 20th than it did during the same period in 2024. The National Cancer Institute paid out $842 million less. And these numbers don't account for the billions of dollars in grants and funding that have been terminated or frozen since Donald J. Trump returned to office. Now an extraordinarily successful scientific research system, one that took decades to build, has saved millions of lives and generated billions of dollars in profits for American companies and investors, is being dismantled before our eyes, Mahler reported, adding that nothing is in the works to replace this system. "It is an absolutely unmitigated disaster," Michael Lauer, who retired in February as deputy director of the National Institutes of Health, told Mahler. "It will take decades to recover from this, if we ever do." Grant funding from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, is a key indicator on the impact of the medical school's research, Dr. Hess said last September. "That's a reflection on the importance of our work. We've made advancement in many areas." Since Robert F. Kennedy Jr. became secretary at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, he has removed all members of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Vaccine Board, replacing many with vaccine skeptics. He has said vaccines are linked to autism. And this week, Kennedy attempted to link autism to Tylenol use by mothers during pregnancy, despite scant evidence. Indiana has seen its childhood vaccination rate decline to 58% in recent years, while health officials seek rates in the 90th percentile. State health officials cite political fallout from the mandates during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 as fueling growing skepticism over scientific research. Since President Nixon kicked off the war on cancer a half a century ago, our nation and state have made profound strides in diagnosing and treating this terrible disease. Both Republicans and Democrats have been willing to fund this battle. During the 2024 campaign, I didn't hear of a politician insisting that this war on cancer should end, but inexplicably, that is exactly what is unfolding before us today. Let's end with a seemingly endless debate over the Epstein files. Kentucky lawmaker Massey pushes to release the Epstein files. Republican Congressman Thomas Massey said Arizona's special election in the 7th District will prove pivotal in the effort to release the Epstein files. Massey, a U.S. House representative from Kentucky District 4, and U.S. Representative Rand Paul, a fellow Republican, made a stop in Wheatland Wednesday morning as a part of a two-day circuit of events across Kentucky. Massey and Paul covered a variety of topics, including a potential government shutdown and the federal investigation files on Jeffrey Epstein, a wealthy financier and convicted sex offender who died in jail in 2019. Massey has spearheaded the charge in attempts to release the files. He said the election of Democratic candidate Adelita Grijalva Tuesday night in Arizona will be a game changer. He said he has 217 of the necessary 218 signatures on his discharge petition to force a vote in the House to release the files. Both candidates, he said, in Arizona's 7th District promised to sign the petition. Many of you have seen in the news, I have been fighting, and Rand Paul is consistent on this issue as well, to release the Epstein files, Massey said at Portable Solutions Group Tuesday. I know that it's not the biggest issue here in Greenup County, but I think it's an issue we can all agree on, that billionaires and politically connected folks should not be above the law and outside the law to get a free pass when they are part of sex trafficking. If we let them off the hook for that, we're never going to solve other problems in D.C. Now we're going to have the 218 signatures, and we're going to force a vote on releasing those files. Massey said House Republican leaders who have disagreed with Massey's efforts on this are in full panic right now. Massey even said that some of those leaders have politically threatened others in an attempt to persuade them to eliminate their names from the petition. Massey said if House Speaker Mike Johnson tries to use some special parliamentary procedure to force more delays, it would be to no avail because Massey said that would also require 218 votes. Paul suggested if Johnson makes an attempt to change rules, it would ultimately backfire on him. When lawmakers return to the nation's capital on Monday, they'll face a government funding deadline with a potential government shutdown looming. All right, that's all from the Danville Commercial News. Again, this is Jane reading for you. I will see you again soon. Have a nice day.